Okay, now Marianne is going to speak as our speaker today. She will share her experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on specific. Go ahead, Marianne, it's all yours.
I'm Marianne, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm a compulsive eater, I'm bulimic, and I've got other alcohol-style addictions too. And just the other day, my sponsor was suggesting to me to pick a word or a phrase out of the Step 11 and just think about that each day, continue to watch for that through my days. So I chose the word dishonest. And so my honesty is, I'm a bit nervous. So I'll explain why I've chosen specific. So I can see now my manifestations of who I am when I do my inventories. There are three inventories, the resentment, the sex, and the fear. And they show me where I'm self-reliant, my self will run riot, my self-reliance, and my lack of God reliance. And it's really shocking, actually. And they show me that all these things are like really futile and that I have no control over other people or like what they're doing. And the inventories show me how I act. And that I am, this is what really, really shocks me, that I am my own God, that I am my own director, that I am my own principal, that I parent myself, I am my mother or father, and that I am my own employer. Everything that I do, it's pretty awful actually. And I'm full of fear and anger, and it's all about me and like what I can do and what people think of me and who I am, and manipulating and trying to get people to love me and to like me and to so that I can feel okay. And it's just terrible. And when I'm resentful and full of all these fears and angry, that's all that I have. That's all that I have. And that's how I'm presenting myself. There's no God in any of that. And I'm blocked completely from God. And therefore I'm blocked from other people. I'm blocked from myself. I don't even see the truth about myself. And then that, of course, leads to my drinking and eating and throwing up and everything else that I do. There's no solution. I can see that today. And I keep doing the same things over and over. So nothing changes. It's the same behaviors, the same beliefs, the same ideas. And it's all this, this realization of just how powerless I really, really am, not just food or drink, but how powerless I am, how powerless I am in not playing God, how powerless I am in not being the director, how powerless I am in not being the principal, the employer, just how powerless I am. And so going through step work, I can start to see, like, I need a power. I need a power greater than me, because my power is not helping me. It's not, and my power blocks me from everything. And and when I started to realize that, I could see how futile and fatal it was. It's going to kill me. This will kill me. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know. So tonight, I would like to look at page 69. And it's just a short paragraph, and I'll just read it. Whatever our ideals turn out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. So we treat any other problem the same as we would with sex. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if I want it. And I just want to think about the word specific just jumped out at me this week when I was reading. So last week when I was reading, so I thought I'm going to just try and talk about that. And I want to just connect it to page 45. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable me to find a power greater than me, which will solve my problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And I think for me, it's like I have to find this power that's greater than me that will solve my problem, not to find a power to help me to solve my problem. And that was a real revelation, because I think, and I still do it today, I still do that. I ask God to help me to solve my problems, and not just turning these things over to God and trusting that God will sort these problems. And, you know, like the book talks about we're going to be either doomed to an alcoholic death or we're going to live in a spiritual solution. That's our two options. And, you know, when people talk about, like, I keep looking for the third option, and I do. I want this third option of being spiritual, well, slim, sober, but not having to do the spiritual stuff, not having to do the work that's been asked of me to do. And I can see that I do that. I look for this third option. And doing my inventories has shown me clearly that my problems are fear-based. And I find it really hard sometimes to really trust God that he's going to solve my fears. You know, and I try and get into my fear-solving problems myself. You know, and it just doesn't work. And, you know, when the book talks about selfishness and self-centeredness as the root, specifically are the roots of my problems, then if that's the roots, I have to look at like what are my nutrients. And like my column four tells me that it's like the fears and the delusion, the dishonesty, the self-seeking. And I want them today to be replaced with like the courage and faith and like the book talks about, and the truth and honesty, and being able to seek God and seek other people and to be connected to God and to be so that I can connect with other people. And the way I believe today to get rid of this self-centered and self-reliance is to become specifically God-centered, God-reliant, doing God's will. And I don't find it easy. So I have this ideal now of what I want to achieve. I know that I want to be like this with my God, and I want to be able to access this power because I believed in God. I could see, I think the way that I look at it is like I knew of like the Queen, but I didn't know her. Or I knew of Prince Harry, for example, but I didn't know him. I don't know him. And that's a bit like I knew of God, but I didn't know God. And I didn't have this access to a power that the book talks about and that I can see in other people. I didn't have access to it. So I want to live this God-directed life, not a Mariana self-reliant, self-will-directed life. I want to trust and rely on God. I don't want to live the way that I'm living, but I still do. I still keep going back to like trying to work things out for myself or trying to do things that I know at the end of the day it's going to hurt me, but something in me still, that blank, that mental blank spot that the book talks about where something takes over and I just do things and I think like how did that happen? So I want to keep continuing doing the work that I'm doing and doing these inventories and asking God to remove these defects that I have, these mistakes, so that I can be useful to others and I can be connected to him and other people. And I would love to be loving and kind and patient and tolerant, but I'm not always like that. And this selfishness that the book talks about me having, I want God to remove it completely in my time. And I have to realize today that my expectations are so high and that it will be removed. These things will be removed in God's time. And I'm really impatient for that. I think now, like I'm trying to like do a bit more in step 10, 11 these days. And I think more I'm starting to see that, you know, like these things are going to happen because the book in step 10, it tells me that I've got to continue to watch for selfishness, Dilla. So that's telling me that it's going to happen because I've got to continue to keep watching. So I'm getting taught that I need to start observing my thoughts and watching my thoughts. And, you know, so I need to become this observer and see what's happening in my life. And I'm learning, which is lovely, that I don't need anyone else to change to feel okay. The people that I'm resentful at or fearful of, they don't need to change. It's me that has to change. Deep down within me, I have to connect with this God and he'll do the changing. And as I'm doing step work and like looking at resentments and fears and my sexual conduct or relationship conduct, things are just sort of dissolving. Some of the things I've carried for like 50 odd years are kind of just dissolving as I'm going through this work and as I'm looking at it and as I'm going deeper and as I'm starting to look at me and like my role and that it's not the person that I'm resentful at. It's not them, it's me, it's deep within me. So like, you know, on page 69 with the relationship inventory, it's showing me that I can treat any of my problems the way I would treat sex and so that I can live in the solution. I've been learning recently in the last, you know, in the last couple of years and particularly recently that I am desperate for other people to love me and to like me. And when I don't feel like I'm loved and liked, I kind of tear them down or give them a really hard time or not very nice to them. And my thinking or my mind will gang up in me, like this God that I am, the director that I am, the principal that I am, the parent that I am, the employer that I am, will tell me that I'm crap and that I'm rubbish and that no one likes me and that no one can identify with me. So like coming to the meeting tonight, this wee thought that's still in my head, but nobody will identify with you. You know, you've got nothing to share. Nobody will know what you're talking about. And, you know, you're different. People are sick of you, Mariana. They don't want to hear you're up your own arse. That kind of thinking. And really what's happening is that I'm believing all these things about myself. Why wouldn't I, given the way that I've been acting and believing? And, you know, to see that I have played God in my own life and just what that's brought me and just it's ruined my life. It's ruined many, many relationships. And it's made me believe that there's actually something really wrong with me. And then when I look at the state work and I think, like, when I see the truth in the state work and I can see my self-reliance and the blocks, and when I start to see the truth of those, like the resentments and the realization, when I start to see what's happening in the column four and how I see myself and see myself in the conduct and see the way I've been behaving in the conduct, then I can start, these blocks are starting to change, the blocks that I have between me and God. And I feel like I'm connecting with God more often, which doesn't always stay like that because I keep falling back into my own thinking. But I'm seeing these things more clearly because I'm going into the pains and the fears that I've always tried to run away from. I've always tried to hide from. I didn't want to look at the pain of what came with my mother. I didn't want to look at the pain of what came with my father. I didn't want people to know that my mother and father were the way that they were with me, or that my siblings were the way that they were with me. I didn't want people to know that. I didn't want to know that. I didn't want to believe that my parents treated me the way that they treated me. I didn't want to believe any of that. I didn't want to believe I was the mother that I turned out to be. So when I'm connecting more with God and I can look at these pains and these fears, it is very painful and very emotional, but it's also like helping me to connect with God, and the blocks are coming down. It feels like the blocks are coming down. So I love when I heard somebody was talking about, you know, when we're born as a baby. And when I was born, I do believe that I was actually connected to my mother, at one with my mother. And then somewhere along the line, something happened and I disconnected from her. And I realized that I'm separate from her. And I desperately wanted her to notice me and give me attention. And I have continued to do that throughout my life. And as a result of that, I have become disconnected from God and the people around me. And I'm still doing it, even with the people that I love, even with my wife and my son and the people in my life that I really love and want to. I feel invisible sometimes, and I still want people to notice me and to make a big fuss of me. And Clancy, who was an AA, he talks about, treat me like a princess and I feel normal. And treat me normal and I feel less than. And I really identified with that. And that was years ago that he said that at a meeting that he was at in Glasgow. And I really, really identified with that. If I'm treated really special, I just feel normal. And if Evie, my wife, for example, treats me normal, I feel less than. If she gives me a cup of coffee in the morning and she's not smiling, there's something wrong with me. What have I done? You know, and I'm not very good at reading faces, as I'm realizing and learning through trauma in my own life. Not very good at reading faces. And what would happen is Evie would come along, and if she didn't have a smile on her face, I would get really, really frightened. So I would erupt and I would get really angry and I would cause an argument and I would be so horrible to her. And then one day I work with all these traumatized kids. And one of the things I talk to them about is ask the question, you know, like, so if you can't read faces, ask the question, are you angry? And I wasn't even doing it in my own life. So I started to say to my wife, are you angry? And she would say, no, I'm just a bit tired. And I was, are you sure? And she said, no. So now, before I erupt and get really angry, I'll ask her, are you angry? And she'll say, no. And that's teaching me that actually she's not angry and I don't need to react the way. And it was all from fear. It was all fear-based. There's something wrong with me. She hates me. She's angry with me. I've done something wrong. That all comes from this, a place in my childhood. I'm so grateful to be learning all those things. So I really just want people to run after me. And if people run after me, then I feel okay. But then what happens when I don't feel okay? I end up using things. And it doesn't have to always necessarily be alcohol or food. It could be Netflix, or it could be talking constantly, or just going into myself and just totally separating from God. And, you know, and the worst thing is that I learned in the fear grid when I was doing fears is that these fears, thank you, these fears are so strong that I can't believe that even God's there to help me. And that was really shocking to learn. So I'm learning that God is good. God needs to be my source, and I need to be totally reliant on him. And I love in that we verse, it talks about we take every specific matter to God. And I'm like, everything? And am I doing that? And like, no. So, for example, my son's getting married in June, and I still hadn't got my wedding outfit. My wife hadn't got her wedding outfit. I was getting really quite anxious and upset and worried. And I mentioned it to somebody in the fellowship, and they said, have you prayed about it? And I was like, no, praying about a wedding, a dress for a wedding. So I prayed and went to the shop. My wife and I went to the shop, and within four outfits got the wedding dress. Perfect, absolutely perfect. And I couldn't believe that we got this our outfits. It was amazing. So, but I love, somebody mentioned before this beautiful example of being trusting and relying. And they talked about if I was going away on holiday and I asked my son to feed my dogs, and I totally trust and rely that he's going to feed the dogs. And then I go away, and as I'm going away, I think, I'm not sure if he's going to feed them. So I'm going to go back and check if he's fed the dogs or not. And that's not trusting and relying. And I'm doing that with God. Here you are, turn it over. Not sure that I trust that you're going to be able to deal with this. So then I take it back and try and do things myself. So I'm not trusting and relying on God. I do this all the time with God. So I don't know how to finish this, really, like what to say. Like, I've got 5 minutes. I don't know what to... Well, I'll finish maybe with, like, on the at the end of page 70. This is now to sum up. So this is what I'm thinking of tonight. To sum up, one, I earnestly pray for the right ideal for guidance in each questionable situation. One, I earnestly pray for the right ideal. Two, I pray for guidance in each questionable situation. Three, I pray for sanity. And four, I pray for the strength to do the right thing. And I specifically ask God for the strength to do the right thing, and all my ideals, my friendships, my intimate relationships, my finances. I can take all of that to God. Who would have known? And do I manage this all the time, every time? No, I don't. But I'm learning, and it's getting better, and it's nothing like the way it was. It's not as bad as the way it was. And so I think I'll finish there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let me stop the recording.